Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. If you listen closely, you can hear it. All creation is groaning. It's groaning to be restored. You can hear it in the plagues and the pandemics, the earthquakes and the hurricanes, the storms, the tsunamis, the volcanoes, the fires, the droughts, the floods, the blizzards, summer's heat and winter's cold are all sounds of groaning. Listen, creation is longing to be restored. Humanity joins its voice to this cacophony of sound, and we hear riots and wars and murder and poverty, hunger and feelings of hopelessness, demanding acceptance while rejecting those who differ in nature and opinion. The very fabric of our society is being torn apart at its foundation. The family structure is crumbling around us, and the fourth commandment, honor thy father and mother, which connects all our understanding of the second table to our love of God and love of each other, love and respect for teachers, police officers, elected officials, called pastors, and others whose vocations are to exercise authority over us. And because the family structure is crumbling, all of these are crumbling with it. Listen, humanity is groaning. And amid all this groaning, God's word must ring out. So Paul assesses the situation. Having heard the same groans that we hear, he takes an accounting of the health of the world and God's people, and he compares our suffering to the future God has waiting for those who have God-given faith, and determines that future glory far outweighs the groaning and suffering we face. And then he adds something we all hate, that our groaning has purpose. St. Paul is telling us that all of creation is fallen along with Christians as all of creation has been made subjected to futility of Adam's fall. So the Christian life becomes one of hope with patience while we suffer. This is the unseen reality. All the things that make our life problematic are temporal. Even death is but a beautiful rest for those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet our sinful flesh makes us a people who see no need or benefit in suffering. We want everything over quickly. COVID should have finished 14 days after it started. The world, the devil, and our sinful flesh lie to us, falsely catechizing us that life is not worth living if we can't live it in our own terms. Please remember this. This is a very important thing. Heretics are always in a hurry. Heretics are always in a hurry to gain acceptance before their lies can be found out. Whether those heretics are in the Word of God or in the world, in politics and everything else, they do not want things to take time to be put under scrutiny because they'll fail miserably. Luther often reminds people that the church has eternity. It needs not be in a rush. And I know the slowness of the church sometimes frustrates people, but I would rather be slow and right than quick and wrong. Christians must slow our rush to accept what we hear, to watch and share, especially when it doesn't put the best construction on the actions of our neighbor. Otherwise, our view of life remains self-centered and not godly. See again our need for repentance as we confess today. And yet it is important to understand that God did not create us to suffer. He did not create us to die. Before the fall, it was all good, very good. But then man wasn't satisfied with being man. Adam and Eve desired to be like God after Satan put the thought into their heads. And since this fall, contrary to the socialists and the prosperity preachers of our age, we are not living in God's perfect creation. We don't get heaven on earth, and anybody who is telling you any differently is delusional. We dare not forget that all of creation fell in Adam's fall. No wonder many are confused on what is male and female, or how to define marriage. And their heresies will seek to cancel anyone who disagrees. I don't know what you've been keeping up with in the news or going on, but I feel compelled to say something on this issue. And so I hope you bear with me and give me charity in your feelings on it. The movement called Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with black lives. If you look at their website, it is a socialist agenda that wants to ultimately get rid of the church and the family structure. Black lives matter, of course, because as we will say, and people will hate us for saying it, all lives matter. We've been saying all lives matter from womb to tomb throughout our existence. It's not new. And when some people will say, when you say all lives matter, you really don't mean all lives, you only mean your life, and that's just a lie. It's a lie from the devil. There was a fellow on who does a podcast who used to be a host of America's Got Talent, who said because of our lack of melanin that the white people are nothing but animals, and that's why we lash out in violence. And that's not a racist statement. Really? If we'd said it the other way around, we would be told that we were wearing sheets and burning crosses. There is a move in our country to drive us towards socialism and or Marxism, and that has no room for the church. What we are doing today has been called white privilege by Black Lives Matter. The fact that you're in church right now. Now, while our congregation is extremely white, it's not white privilege. When they say these things, they prove how ignorant they are of their own history. It was not the Europeans who converted the Africans to Christianity, but the other way around. Saint Athanasius is African. I do not understand the attacks that are taking place. In fact, just in the last 2 weeks, there have been public figures who have been saying that Jesus was a sinner. News people who are saying nobody's perfect. Even Jesus sinned. He turned the tables over in the temple, you know. Maybe he didn't want a social distance anymore. I don't know. We need, before we run to judgment on these issues, we need to slow the roll. Because there is an evil involved in it. And that evil is wanting to attack the very foundation of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is ultimately any evil's goal. To rob us of Jesus and the comfort that He provides. Now I know, saying what I've said could cause me to get canceled. So be it. But you see, sin has brought suffering to us, and it has a place in our lives whether we like it or not. James, the brother of our Lord, puts it this way in James chapter 5. As an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast, who have heard of the steadfastness, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So look to the cross of Christ and see what good can come out of suffering. As God in flesh, our Lord Jesus bears our sin and suffers our punishment for us. Know this. To share in the glory of Jesus, we are going to share in His suffering. Paul doesn't question this reality at all. He states it matter-of-factly, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And this suffering we all feel. We feel physical suffering, our own health with its various issues, financial suffering, being laid off, underemployed or unemployed, emotional suffering of loneliness and depression, the fear of being rejected for standing up for our faith, the spiritual suffering, which can be simply doubting what you believe or struggling to remain faithful in a world that wants to know no facts while questioning everything based upon its feelings. These narcissistic Gnostics have got to be silenced. We also know that it is one thing when the suffering is done to us, but it is even worse, it seems, when the ones we love are the ones who are suffering. An often overlooked form of suffering in this life is that of being a Christian parent or spouse or child and not knowing that the people you love have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This silent suffering is often the deepest and most difficult kind because this suffering brings a seemingly unending series of doubts and questions concerning eternal consequences, concerning the day when the sheep and the goats are separated or the wheat and the tares are removed from one another. Oh, how we search and struggle to find a way to confess our faith without causing earthly separation. And well, we must indeed proclaim our faith in love and patience with gentle and self-control. We cannot reach to the level of H. Richard Niebuhr put it, "A God without wrath, bringing a people without sin into a kingdom without judgment through a Christ without a cross." This God that Niebuhr is talking about, that the people want, this people and this kingdom does not exist. If you are not a sinner, you are in the wrong place this morning. This is God's mouth house of the forgiveness of your sins. Paul says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to the futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." The sad truth is that ease of life tends to make us more complacent and more focused on earthly things. In true godly wisdom, God gave Solomon a faithful prayer that we should do well to learn. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." So our suffering in this life and in this world serve by keeping us from believing the words of the poet William Ernst, who in his poem Invictus put it this way, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul." Having a faith that receives daily bread and even rest now and for eternity from the hand of Almighty God is why St. Paul can write what he writes, as he further does in verses 28 and 29 and 30. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." You see, the Christian's groaning need not be that of complaining, but rather a longing for what lies ahead, our final redemption. Our cries come before God, Lord, have mercy upon us. And even before we cry out, Jesus was begotten of the Father from all eternity. Our suffering can move us to consider the glory that is to be revealed to us. And in faith, we may pray with perseverance to endure both suffering and sufficiency. We are assured of the heavenly reward because Jesus, our only Lord and Savior, has redeemed us through His suffering, His life, His death on the cross, and finally His glorious resurrection, as God made Him who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So come today, brothers and sisters in Christ, taste and see just how good the Lord is as He gives you the food of your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins with His body and His blood. What a relief. Our groans are giving meaning as the Spirit fills their sounds with words spoken on our behalf to our Heavenly Father. Our groans become prayers, and the Holy Spirit delivers them to our Creator. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with requests that are consistent with the will of God. The Holy Spirit becomes the link between our heart and the heart of God. The Holy Spirit not only convinces us of our sinfulness, but through the door opened by Christ reconciling death on the cross, also speaks for us to the Father, who embraces us again as His children, as He offers us new birth. So hear Paul. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.